And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. In Juneau, our backyards are home to bears, eagles, whales, and more. It's one of the reasons people love living here so much. But earlier this month, some close encounters with a killer whale reminded people just how wild our city is. Here's the story. It was a sunny Friday in Juneau, and Lindsay Bloom was eager to get outside and enjoy it.
I was like, okay, I'm going to go for a little paddleboard. I'm going to just watch the sun sparkle on the water. That's going to like light me up from just a day of emails and whatever else. And then I'll go get the kids. I mean, it just seems so benign.
At Bloom's home on Lena Loop Road, the ocean is practically part of her backyard. So she goes paddleboarding often. But this particular afternoon was far from routine. A few minutes into her paddle, she spotted a pod of orcas, four or five of them, out on the horizon. She took a video to send to her parents, but then she spotted a shadow underneath her.
I looked down, and I saw this white color, and then her fins sliced up out of the water.
Before she knew what was happening, a large female killer whale lifted her paddleboard up out of the water.
And at that moment, it was like terror.
The board bobbed as Bloom stood frozen. The whale circled her about half a dozen times, diving under the board and then spinning around to look up. Bloom said they made eye contact.
And then I started talking to her. I was like, I have kids. Please go away.
Eventually, the whale did go away, and Bloom was able to make it to shore safely, though she was really shaken up. But later that afternoon, the whale sidled up to Matt Musselwhite's red skiff. He was sailing near Point Louisa, just a few hundred yards down the shoreline. When he saw her black fins glistening at the surface of the water, he cut the engine to let the whale safely pass.
And instead, she just turned and charged right up to me and ran her dorsal fin down the side of the boat and went circled around the boat a couple of times and then took off to join the rest of her pack.
Musselwhite said the whale was gentle.
I think she might have been a curious teenager, just coming to check out my little boat.
Marine mammal specialist Susie Tierlink with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said there were at least three reports of close encounters with this orca, who was, in fact, a teenager, though no one has been able to identify the specific whale or the pod it belongs to. In a social media video posted by another paddler, the whale splashes around making circles before poking her head out and spraying from her blowhole. Tierlink said that most of the time, killer whales will keep their distance when they come across people.
At the same time, they're really smart, really curious animals. And they're at home in their environment, and if something strikes their curiosity, they might kind of push that envelope.
Tierlink said it's best for whales and people to keep our distance.
So we don't want killer whales to get, individuals to get too comfortable going up to people and getting that close to people.
So if you encounter a whale yourself, Tierlink's advice is to move away as quickly as possible. Orcas tend to migrate over large areas relatively quickly. So while they're pretty common in Juneau, the curious teenage whale and her pod have probably left the area by now. Bloom said learning more about the animal's curious nature has calmed her fears a bit. She feels there's a reputation around the meat-eating marine mammals, which made her feel more afraid in the moment.
We call them killer whales, which now I'm like,
why do we have to call them that? Because it just makes them, like, scarier than they need to be.
And in the weeks since the close encounter, she's come to appreciate it, in a way.
This is so Alaska. Like, all you got to do is walk out your front door and, like, it's epic.
But for now, she's planning to paddleboard on Auk Lake instead. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny. And Sitka's Indian village was once home to over 40 Tlingit clan houses. Today, only 8 of those are still standing, and even fewer serve as active houses. Now, the area has been recognized as one of 11 endangered historic places in the U.S. And as KCAW's Meredith Reddick reports, organizers are hoping that the attention will inspire efforts to creatively conserve and rebuild a cultural hub that's fallen into disrepair.
Cat Leanne Street stretches along the waterfront just north of downtown Sitka. Today, it's a bustling commercial hub. Workers unload fish totes at the seafood processor, and cars whiz by on their way to the harbors. Dotted between the shops and restaurants are houses, some standing, others collapsed, that tell the story of this street's past.
Just this short little walk, there's multiple clan houses here.
Chuck Miller is walking down Catlian Street, pointing out sites that once served as cultural centers for Tlingit people, places where members of a clan gathered for meetings, ceremonies, and even wakes.
I remember there was a few here by this parking lot. The Whale House, Sea Lion House used to stand here. A few more Kagwantan houses right here.
Miller is the caretaker for the Kayash Kahit, or Porch House, one of the few standing clan houses in Sitka. He inherited that responsibility in the 90s from his late maternal uncle. Under traditional law, that's how clan houses should be passed down. But under the Western legal system, properties often go to a spouse or children who aren't in the same clan. In other cases, multiple clan members are on the deed, making it hard to rebuild or demolish.
You have to have everybody's signature on it. So you can't demolish something without having everybody's permission. And sometimes people die, and then you can't track down the descendants, or they didn't have any. So that's the debacle we run into nowadays.
In the case of the Point House, a Kiksati clan house that fell out of clan ownership when it was transferred in a will, the house was eventually demolished. Jarek Hope Lang, a member of the Kiksati clan, worked with the legal owners to repatriate the land in 2022. He's been the caretaker since then, and now he's eager to tackle what he sees as a broader problem.
We see the collapsed houses. We see things falling into disrepair. So I wanted to shed light on what's happening next to me, too, because it's not just problematic to me. It's problematic for other people.
That's why he asked the National Trust for Historic Preservation to recognize Sitka's Indian Village as an endangered historic place. He worked with Sitka historian and adopted Kiksati clan member James Polson to submit the nomination.
This nomination, although it's about Sitka's Indian Village and clan houses, isn't situational to only Sitka, right? So broadly speaking, Klukwan, Haines, Angoon, all of them are having similar issues.
The National Trust recognizes 11 endangered historic places each year, prioritizing sites that highlight unique or underrepresented parts of American history. While the nomination doesn't come with funding, it does come with a lot of publicity. Hope Lang is hoping that attention will draw support for the neighborhood's preservation. Figuring out what preservation looks like, though, will require creativity. Outside of tangled questions of ownership, Hope Lang says clan houses don't fit neatly into Western historic preservation systems like the National Park Service National Register of Historic Places.
The Secretary of Interior has standards for preservation, and they're often trying to preserve a section in time. But those standards don't really align with Indigenous standards. Clan houses can be rebuilt.
And because most clan houses are privately owned, he says it's harder to get funding to maintain or rebuild them. Those aren't problems that can be easily solved, but Hope Lang says the National Trust nomination is an important step. In the meantime, both Miller and Hope Lang are working to provide space that reflects what their clans need today. Miller often hosts events for other clans who don't have active clan houses, and he hopes one of his nephews will become the caretaker someday.
I'm very proud to take on the role of a caretaker, as I did. I did it out of respect and honor for my uncles, you know, and one of these days, hopefully one of my nephews will take up that honor and take the torch up and keep this house going.
And Hope Lang is working with a Tlingit architect to design a 21st century clan house on the Point House site.
We're trying to preserve this cultural lifestyle for perpetuity. So this is an opportunity to do so.
He hopes that with innovative thinking and collaboration, clan houses around the region can thrive as centers for Tlingit identity, ceremony, and tradition. In Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.
And for those of you who might have been tired out by all that beautiful sunshine we had last week, you're in luck. The rain is back. If you haven't noticed already, it's been quite drizzly today. Things are expected to pick up tomorrow as two new systems move across the panhandle. Tomorrow afternoon, they'll start raining in the southern panhandle, and they'll make their way up north here to us in Juneau by sometime in the evening. So tomorrow evening, definitely expect heavier showers and gusty conditions. And that'll continue throughout the week with the wet conditions. So maybe try a more relaxed activity, a puzzle, something that you can do indoors. That's all for KTOO for today. You can check out more stories at our website, ktoo.org.